Welcome to Vaccine Mandate call, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now I'll turn the meeting over to your host, Andrea Castellanos. You may begin.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Andrea Castellanos. I'm the Chief of Provider Services at Visiting Nurse Service of New York. And just as a reminder, today's call is to provide information to unvaccinated VNS&Y staff members about our COVID vaccine mandates and about the COVID vaccines in general. Joining me on today's call is Marion Haas, Senior Vice President of Human Resources, and Dr. Jay Dopkins, our Chief Medical Officer of Choice Health Plan. As an important part of the VNS&Y family, you've been invited to today's call because our records indicate that you have not yet gotten a first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. If our records are not correct about this, please send us a note by going to HR Connect and clicking on Ask HR right away so we can update our records. Or if you're a home health aide, you can text Partners in Care Health Services at 646-618-1907. Again, that number is 646-618-1907. I want to begin this call by saying that this is an urgent and serious matter for both the organization and our patients, clients, and plan members, as well as for you. The New York State Department of Health is now requiring COVID vaccines for all staff in our certified home health agency, hospice, or licensed home health services agency who interact in person with patients and clients who work in facilities where patients and clients visit. This group includes staff in VNS&Y Home Care, VNS&Y Hospice, and Partners in Care, including all of our home health aides. The New York State Department of Health mandate also covers our field staff working in NORCs, that's natural occurring retirement communities around New York City, our nurse family partnership field staff, and our business development staff who work in facilities where patients are. Everyone in these groups must get your first COVID-19 vaccine dose or submit proof of vaccination by October 7th, or we will be required to remove you from our active workforce. We don't want to do this. Let me repeat. We don't want to lose any of our valued employees. So if you are impacted by this mandate, please consider getting the vaccine as soon as possible. VNS&Y is also requiring COVID vaccinations for our community mental health services staff and staff in our care management organization who interact in person with patients. Everyone in these groups must also get their first COVID vaccine dose and submit proof of vaccination by October 7th. It is possible to get a medical exemption from these mandates, and our community mental health service and care management organization staff can also apply for a religious exemption. If you're interested in applying for an exemption, please contact AskHR or Partners in Care Health Services, and they will go through the application process with you. With that in mind, I strongly encourage everyone who is listening to please get vaccinated against COVID-19 as soon as possible. I understand you may have concerns about the vaccines, but the reality is that all three COVID vaccines have now been given to millions of Americans, including myself and all the leadership on this call, and have a proven safety record. Serious side effects from the vaccine are extremely rare. I really encourage you to talk with your colleagues who have gotten vaccinated to hear about their experience and their reasons for getting the vaccine. And if it would help put your mind at ease, we're also happy to connect you with Dr. Jay Dopkin, Chief Medical Officer for Choice, or Dr. Rochelle Dignam, Chief Medical Officer for Provider Services, to talk one-on-one about the safety records of vaccines and any concerns that you have. Yesterday, the New York Times reported that over 40 million coronavirus cases have now been recorded in the United States, which is more than the population of California. The Times then went on to say, and I'm quoting, 47% of Americans are not fully vaccinated, allowing the Delta variant more than enough opportunity to inflict suffering and disrupt daily life. Health officials say most of the patients who are being hospitalized and dying are not vaccinated, and that it is those unvaccinated people who are driving the current surge and burdening healthcare system. I'd like you to consider that last point. When you don't get vaccinated, you're not only putting yourself at risk, but you're actually fueling the spread of the virus. I know people have a lot of questions about the vaccine mandates, and we'll get to those in just a minute. If you have a question for today's call, you can email it to vaccinemandates@vnsmi.org. Again, that email address is vaccinemandate@vnsmi.org. We've also posted the questions from last week's call on the Vaccine VNSMI sections of the Internet and the Partners in Care Resource Center. As I said at the beginning of this call, you're a very important part of the VNSMI family, and I really mean that. You are all very extremely valued and talented employees. I really hope you will choose to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Okay, now let's get to your questions. Marion is going to read them out. And once again, the email address, if you have questions, is vaccinemandate@vnsmi.org. Marion, you want to start with the questions? Marion, are you there?
Oh, yes. I'm so sorry. I'm speaking right into my mute button. Good afternoon, everyone. It's Marion Haas from Human Resources. And our first question has a couple parts to it, so I'm going to ask Dr. Dopkin to address them. The first part is, if you can still get and spread COVID after getting the vaccine, why is it being mandated? And if we still have to wear a mask after getting the vaccine, why is it being mandated?
Dr. Dopkin, could you address those questions?
Yes, it's true that you can still get infected, and that's been known really from the earliest trials with these vaccines, and you can still potentially spread it. With the Delta strain, the amount of virus that people seem to shed when they get infected is actually significantly higher, raising the stakes both, for vaccine administration. But I think the key point is you're much less likely to get infected. And if you do get infected, you shed the virus for a much shorter period of time if you've been vaccinated. So besides the personal protection, as Andrea pointed out, 99% of the people in hospitals and in ICUs now with COVID are unvaccinated. So the strongest reason to get vaccinated really should be personal protection, but you're also much less likely to infect anyone else, although it's not impossible that you could transmit the infection. And that's why masks are still recommended. On the remote chance that you're infected, you're asymptomatic, and you're shedding the virus, wearing the mask both protects you from acquiring infection, but also protects others in case you might be shedding virus. So it's certainly not a reason not to get vaccinated. If anything, it's yet another good reason to get vaccinated.
Thank you. There's another question asking, why is proof of natural immunity not even an option?
You want me to take that one?
Yes, please.
Yeah, natural immunity basically means evidence, typically antibodies, that you had a prior infection. The problem is that natural immunity seems to be much, much less effective at preventing you from getting infected again or getting sick than the vaccine-based immunity. And, you know, we've seen this now several times around the world where there's a lot of infection and then a new strain comes along and unvaccinated people get infected and get sick again, whereas the vaccines still seem to be very effective at preventing infection with the newer strains.
Great. Thank you very much. The last part of this question I will take. This person is stating that the mandate is not a law and that it could be easily overturned and that lawsuits are currently working their way through the judicial system and that an injunction to put a hold on the mandate can happen at any time. I would say that certainly if there are any changes to this regulation or this requirement from New York State Department of Health, which is what we are working under as a healthcare provider that is regulated by that body, we will certainly implement those changes. But at this time, this is the requirement for our organization. This person goes on to ask, why not negotiate with the state to extend the October 7th deadline or put testing back as an option? Andrea, or I understand Nashin Rokiria, our labor counsel, has also joined the call. Would either of you like to address that question about why not to negotiate with the state to extend the October 7th deadline or put testing back as an option? Andrea or Nashin, I can't hear you if you're on. Hello.
I can hear you, Marion, but I don't hear anyone else.
Yes, I can hear you, Jay, as well. So they may have gotten disconnected. So we will take that question back to you, to our group to address, maybe if they get back on earlier. But as an individual provider negotiating with the state on a regulation that covers all of the industry and is also applicable to hospitals, nursing homes, skilled nursing facilities, where this is the mandate in all of those healthcare organizations, is not there's not necessarily a likely outcome that VNSMY alone would have any impact.
Yeah, if I could just add something.
Please, yes.
Yeah, mandatory vaccines are not something new. They've been widely used in the past, as I think almost all the callers probably know. And there are a variety of authorities, including people from the American Civil Liberties Union, who have spoken out recently saying that there's nothing legally questionable about these mandates. So it's very unlikely, it seems, that there will be any legal obstacles.
Thank you. The next question comes from an individual who's asking, if I am exempt from the flu shot, can I be exempted from taking the vaccination if I get a medical exception from my doctor? Jay, would you like to address that?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
If I'm exempt from the flu shot, will I be exempt from the COVID vaccination requirement if I get a medical exemption from my doctor?
It really depends on the reasons for the flu shot exemption. Currently, the only published exemptions from the COVID vaccines are allergy to the vaccine itself or one of the components. And with these vaccines, since they're not, they don't contain animal products like, egg products, for instance, with some older vaccines, the likelihood of allergy or the history of allergy is extremely unusual. But it would certainly be worth talking to your doctor, about the details.
Thank you. Next question asks, why are we as home health aides being forced to take this vaccine if we don't want to take it? Why aren't we allowed to get weekly testing? The weekly testing option is not allowed under the New York State mandate that requires home health aides to be vaccinated or have a medical exemption to the vaccination. Weekly testing is not an option that we can offer under the law.
Hi, Marion. This is Andrea.
Yes,
Andrea.
Yes, hi. Yes.
Sorry, I got disconnected back in the call. So that is part of the New York State mandate. New York State testing is not allowed as part of the New York State mandate, just to clarify.
Thank you. Going on to the next question, this writer says, I'm working for one patient since January 2020 and not sick. After I take vaccine, and if I have any side effects, who will pay for my rent and life expenses? And if I don't take the vaccine before October 7th, what will happen? Do I have to quit immediately? And where can I find work with a few patients that I must take this vaccine? I'm not sure I'm understanding the last part of that question, but the question in connection with taking the vaccine and having side effects, and who will pay for my rent and life expenses. There's VNS and partners, employees all do have PTO that can be used in the event of any side effects. And I'd like to ask Dr. Dobkin to address these side effects that he hears reported as a result of the vaccine, to maybe address this issue of that this person has in concern about loss of income.
Sure. The side effects with the vaccines are certainly well recognized, but they're almost entirely very short-term in duration and mild in extent. The kinds of severe side effects that would actually lead to requirement for medical care, for hospitalization, prolonged absence from work, for instance, are extraordinarily unusual. In fact, lower with this vaccine than with many others. So the likelihood that will happen, I think, is very small. But clearly, there are rare cases where there have been, some serious adverse events.
Thank you. Thank you.
Marion, I just want to add, so the person that wrote this question, I believe, is a home health aide. And this person said, where can I find work with patients if I don't take the vaccine? And I want to just be clear that all licensed agencies in the state of New York must comply with having vaccinated AIDS by October 7th. So this is not unique to Partners in Care. This is a mandate for all licensed home health agencies in the state of New York. So if you go to any agency, they are going to mandate that you have the vaccine, the first vaccine, by October 7th. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Andrea. That's a good point. And if this person was referring to whether they would be able to find work with a few more patients, since they indicate that they are only working with one patient since January of last year, please speak with your supervisor at Partners, and we would certainly be able to assign you additional patients to your caseload. On to the next question. This person is asking, what I would like to know, if I don't take this vaccine, does it mean I will lose my job? They then go on to write about some medical conditions that and question of whether it would still be a safe bet for me to take the vaccination. I would respond by saying that it's very important that you speak with your healthcare provider to find out if the vaccination is safe and effective for you, as it is for, you know, millions of folks who have taken it. But that certainly is a situation that you should speak with your own healthcare provider, who would be familiar with your individual situation and circumstances. If your healthcare provider is recommending that you should be exempted from the COVID vaccination, please apply for that exemption and we will review it for you. We don't want to see anyone lose their job. We value you as well as all of our staff who are on board and taking such good care of our patients and our members throughout this pandemic. And we're hoping that we can get through this mandate and get our way to October 7th by addressing the needs and concerns of all our staff.
Marion? This individual actually identifies that they have some very specific issues related to diabetes and hypertension. And I'd like Dr. Dopkins to talk about individuals with certain risk factors and certain diseases like hypertension and diabetes, and how does that impact the vaccine? Dr. Dopkins, will you talk about that for a minute?
Sure. So most of the chronic conditions that people may have actually seem to be risk factors for more severe disease if you do get COVID. This has, again, been recognized pretty much from the beginning and is not really surprising, since other respiratory viral infections behave the same way. So things like hypertension, diabetes, heart failure, are all reasons that the vaccine will be most effective in those, you know, for those individuals. Again, there are very, very few indications not to get the vaccine. And besides age, chronic metabolic or cardiovascular or respiratory disease seems to put individuals at even higher risk of severe COVID than their age-matched controls. So all the more reason to get the vaccine.
Thank you, Dr. Duncan.
Thank you. Thank you. That was very helpful. On to the next question, which says, I read an article in the National Law Review about that employers mandating vaccine will be required to report all adverse reactions to OSHA, and it will be considered work-related. Is this true, and if I do have an adverse reaction, will I get workers' comp? I want to refer this question to our workers' comp expert, and we will post the reply to this question on our FAQ site in the next day or so. So thank you for the question. It's a very good one.
Marion, this is Nosheen. I don't know if I want to make sure you can hear me since I was having issues earlier, but if you can, I just want to add something in response to this question, that the writer is correct with respect to OSHA's previous guidance around reporting. However, in May, OSHA did move away from this position, and at least through May of 2022, will not be requiring employers to report adverse effects with respect to the vaccine. And so you can certainly find more information about that directly on OSHA's website, but the position was changed in May of 2021.
Thank you, Nashina. I didn't have that updated information, so that will be the answer that you'll see reflected on the FAQs after this call. Our next question is, how come the NSMY doesn't allow religious exemption? This person who's asking this question is one of our field staff, one of our rehab therapists, and the state mandate does not allow religious exemptions. That's why the NSMY is not providing you with the option of a religious exemption. Our next question says, hello, I want to understand, are we getting a raise for taking the vaccine? Unfortunately, the vaccine does not come with a raise, but it does come with a payment for any time that you may have missed from work for going to get the vaccine. Many home health aides have already received up to $100 to cover their time missed from work for getting the vaccine. This question is from a home health aide, and if you do go for your vaccination during work time, you would be eligible for that as well. Next question is speaking about the experience in Israel, where there's been a lot of vaccinations and a spike in cases, and a concern about the efficacy of vaccines. The question that this person has is, what guarantee can the NSMY give us that if we do get vaccinated, this will be it and not subject to booster shots down the road? I don't think there's any guarantee that the NSMY can give you in that regard. Dr. Dobkin, would you like to address that at all? Is there any guarantee that this will be it and they're not subject to booster shots down the road?
No, I think there's clearly a possibility that the boosters will be necessary. Mm-hmm. Remember that we have an annual flu vaccine because the virus changes every year. So it's conceivable that we're going to have a similar pattern, hopefully not, you know, as frequent, but it's still early going with this virus. So I don't think there's any way that anyone can say that you'll never need another COVID shot. Whether another COVID shot will be required is a separate question. That's really a policy question that I can't answer at this point.
Thank you. I know we're getting to the bottom of the hour, and we're already a few minutes past, so I'll try to get to a few more of these questions quickly. Can you kindly please give the information again on what will be needed or how to go about getting a medical exception? Please send your question. I can see this is, I believe, from one of our home health aides. Please send your question, your request, into Partners Health Services. And if you're an employee who uses Workday as your system of record, please send it through Ask HR. I'm going to try to find one more question that I don't think we've. There's another question about religious exemptions. No, we cannot provide religious exemptions because they are not allowed under the New York State mandate. And there's a repeat question from last week about a leave of absence and unemployment benefits. We will be providing information in connection to these two questions in the FAQs when they're posted. We still don't have any further information regarding the status
of unemployment. And finally, there's one last question about who will take responsibility for adverse reactions, if not the agency, the state, the vaccine makers themselves. Will VNS refrain from terminating employment until all litigation against the mandate is completed and decided upon? Nausheen or Andrea, do you want to address these questions?
I can speak to the last part regarding refraining from terminating employment. As Mary mentioned, you know, we're keeping a close eye on all developments, and you know, there are a number of moving pieces. However, the state mandate makes clear that we cannot allow individuals to work unless they comply with the mandate. And so we, of course, need to comply with the state mandate. Marion spoke about how we'll be providing information on precisely what options are available in the event someone is unable to comply or chooses not to comply with the mandate. But there aren't too many options available to us under the state mandate in the sense that we simply cannot permit non-compliant individuals to work in those capacities.
Thank you. I'm going to slip in just one last quick question, which is, can I take only one shot? The New York State mandate requires that you have, if you're not fully vaccinated, that you be partially vaccinated no later than October 7th. So you can just have one shot if you're taking a two-shot vaccination. You can have only one shot as long as it's by October 7th. You can then continue working as long as you get your second shot as scheduled, which is normally about 4 weeks after your first shot. So I want to thank everyone for calling.
Marion, also the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is just a single-shot vaccine. So that would just be a one-shot vaccine. So that's another option for everybody.
So there's three vaccinations that are available, the J&J, which is one shot, and the Moderna or the Pfizer, which are both two shots. So thank you, Andrea. So thank you all for calling in today, and we are holding these calls every week. If you have more questions, please call in next week. And if you want to have a question during the week, you can send them in to Ask HR or speak with your supervisor. Thanks again.